Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Amazing. How's it going? Me too. How many am I in? I'm in 3 cups of coffee so far. Probably going to have another one between services. Although I think if I hadn't had any coffee yet today, I'd still be fine because I'm very excited for this day. It's such a good day to celebrate the risen Lord, and it's so good to celebrate over the course of our 3 services today at sunrise and then here with you, and again at 10:30. Now, some of you might be wondering, what's going on over here? I've never seen that thing in the worship hall before. What's this thing over here behind Julie? So just a couple words about that. This is from our Good Friday service that we celebrated here this last Friday. The theme on Friday we were coming together to celebrate Jesus who was lifted up on a cross. And in John 3, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says that Jesus must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And then in John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus himself says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm the one. And then later in John chapter 12, we read that Jesus says, when I am lifted up, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, I will draw all people to myself. Because it's the cross that is most magnetic to us. It is the cross which is empty today because he's not dead, he's alive. But it's the cross that draws us to Jesus. For he laid down his life that whoever, anybody, no matter who you are, that whoever would believe into him wouldn't perish, but would actually have eternal life. And this cross was a cross we interacted with. All the little pieces of paper are actually our prayers and our praises that we invited people to lift up in response to Jesus being lifted up. So we lifted up our prayers. We lifted up our praises. We lifted up our hearts to the one who is lifted up on our behalf. And thanks be to God, this morning we get to celebrate that not only was he lifted up on the cross, but he lifted himself up out of the grave. He's alive. He is not dead. Jesus is risen. So good. But that does raise a question, I think, which is, why are we, you got to turn this thing on, Peter, in order for it to work. Why are we talking about sheep pens and shepherds and gates on Easter? Let me explain. So we've just heard Kathy read from the New Testament book of John. John is where Jesus says these things about sheep pens, about shepherds, about gates, and about abundant life. And right after Jesus says these things is when Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. Okay, side note. This is amazing! He raised Lazarus from the dead! Come on! Okay, and then he says to those who witnessed this, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes into me, even though they would die, like my pal Lazarus just did, even though they will die, they'll actually live. And everyone who lives and believes into me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asks. That believing life, that abundant life, that life of following Jesus Christ is the central theme of the New Testament book of John. We call it John's Gospel. We call it that because this guy named John, who was one of Jesus' best friends, wrote this account of Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. And at the end of John's gospel that he wrote about Jesus, at the very end, he actually tells us why he bothered to write these things down. And he tells us that he wrote all of these things down about Jesus so that we might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is indeed the Son of God, and that through believing, we might have abundant, eternal life. That's why John wrote his gospel. So we're talking about sheep pens and shepherds and gates and abundant life on Easter because that is what Jesus talked about in order to help us understand and enter into the resurrection life that he won for us on the cross and through the empty tomb. He made it possible for us to enter into that kind of life. And he's trying to explain to us what that kind of life is like using stories of sheep pens and gates and shepherds. Jesus died on a cross and he was raised from the dead in order to make abundant life for you and for me possible. To believe this is to enter into this. Do you believe it? I hope that you will. Would you pray with me as we dive in and talk more about sheep pens, gates, and shepherds? Gracious and living God, thank you for this man named John who had the privilege of knowing you personally in the flesh. Thank you that you helped him to remember so many of the stories that you told and so many of the incidents that he saw take place, so many of the miracles and conversations that you had, Jesus. Thank you that you enabled him to faithfully write these things down and that we get to read about how amazing you are, Jesus. I pray now that you would help us not only to understand, but to enter into this life that you are offering. May this be more than good information. May it be good news that changes us. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so John's gospel, it's in the New Testament. It was originally written in a different language, in Koine Greek. Koine Greek is a little bit different from modern day Greek. It was the Greek, it was the language of the people in the first century. And this is kind of fun. Here's an image of a very early manuscript of John's gospel account. This is actually called Papyri 66. And this contains almost the entire gospel account of John. There are a few parts missing. As you can imagine, they're not like complete pages all bound nicely in a three-ring binder. This document dates to just after about 200 AD. By the way, I thought this morning as I would speak to you, I thought about kind of nerding out a little bit and speaking about the historical reliability of the New Testament and specifically John's gospel as it relates to other historical documents from the same era or from earlier eras and how like by multitudes how much better, how much more historically reliable the documents that make up our New Testament are than just about any other document from that era, but the sermon got too long, so that's all I'm going to say about that. But I wanted to show you this image. Isn't that cool? This is actually the thing. This is what the Gospel of John looked like when it was copied, written down in about the year 200 AD. It's sometimes helpful to look at the original language that something was written in a historical document, because as you know, sometimes important details are lost in translation, right? And not just for Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson in Tokyo. If you don't know what I'm talking about, see the movie. But take, for example, the Greek word for life. This little Greek word, bios. Obviously, this word comes to us in the English language through words like biology or biochemical. This is the Greek word for life. Bios involves all the functions necessary for life. Right? So bios, for a human being anyway, requires a circulatory system, requires a digestive system, a nervous system, a lung or two, sleep on a regular basis. Some of you are like, ooh, I don't know if I have bios. I'm not getting sleep on a regular basis. We know Pastor Jericho is not. But when Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, when Jesus says that he has come in order that we may have life and have it abundantly, Jesus does not use this Greek term for life. He does not use the word bios to refer to the life that he offers us. And it's a little bit surprising. It would have been surprising to his original listeners and to the original readers of John's gospel. He does not use the typical word for life. Instead, he says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have Zoe and have it abundantly. I have come that they may have Zoe and have it abundantly. Zoe is another Greek word, and it also means life, but it has a very different emphasis than bios does. If you have bios, it means you're not yet dead. It's not a very exciting way to live. It's not really much of a life. You're not dead yet. Congratulations, you have bios. But if you have Zoe, it means you're really living. Like you're actually living the life that God has created and redeemed you to live. So bios is like existence, but Zoe is flourishing. Zoe is dwelling in the presence of the God who created you and redeemed you, the presence of Jesus Christ. Bios life, it consists of flesh and blood. It's necessary in order to be alive. But Zoe life is flesh and blood filled with and animated by the Spirit of the living God. Bios life deteriorates as the years go on. And some of you are maybe going to laugh at me, but I can already begin to experience that. My muscles are aching this morning from a bike ride I did yesterday. I'm certain that if 20 years ago, I'd gone on that same bike ride, my muscles would not ache today. That's because my bios life is literally in the process of deteriorating. And that's something that everyone here has in common. But Zoe life, on the other hand, Zoe life, it gets better with age. It gets better as the days and months and years go on. And in fact, Zoe life can't even be affected by death. Death has no impact on Zoe life. As I've already mentioned, Jesus, right before he raises Lazarus from the dead, he says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the Zoe life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even if he dies. There's this really cool scripture the Apostle Paul wrote. The Apostle Paul, he transitioned from bios life to Zoe life when he met Jesus. It was a radical meeting. You can read it some other time if you like. Just Google, when did Paul meet Jesus? You can read about it. He wrote this after he transitioned through Jesus from bios life to Zoe life. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take away Zoe life from you, not even death. Look what happened to Jesus. Death could not take his life away. And so it is with you and me when we believe into Jesus. But what is this Zoe life like? You know, can you describe it to me, Peter? If I was to tell somebody who'd never really heard of this before what it's like, how would I describe it to somebody? Well, Jesus actually is trying to explain that, I think, right here in John chapter 10 that we've just heard read. That's why he talks about sheep gates and shepherds and pens. The Zoe life that Jesus offers to us and to the whole world is a life in which we are fully known and deeply nourished. A life in which we are fully known and deeply nourished. Known and nourished. Wouldn't it be cool if those two words started with the same letter? It sounds like they do. good enough, known. Jesus says the sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. In the Hebrew roots of Jesus' first century Middle Eastern culture, to know someone or to know something meant actually to experience them or to experience that thing, not just to know about them. So the sheep, they don't just know that Jesus exists. They don't just know that there is a shepherd out there somewhere who exists. They actually experience the shepherd's presence. That's why we can say, that's why Jesus can say the sheep know the shepherd. They experience his presence. They hear his voice. They receive protection from him. They are in his presence. Jesus uses this analogy, I think, because in the first century Palestinian world, sheep were most often raised for their wool, not for meat. So what this means is that shepherds would often have a long-term relationship with their sheep. Don't think about that too much. They would have a long-term relationship with their sheep for many, many years as these sheep would continue to produce wool. And so the sheep would really get to know the shepherd, get to know the shepherd's voice, experience the shepherd's presence. Jesus would go on to say a little bit later in John chapter 10, he says, you know, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, that's how much I know my own sheep, and that's how much my own sheep know me. And this is astounding because there is no more intimate relationship in the universe than the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call this the Trinity, three persons in one God, and the relationship that they share among one another. That level of relational intimacy is the kind of relational intimacy that Jesus is offering to you. That you get to know Jesus as well as the Spirit knows him. That you get to know Jesus as well as the Father knows him. And that you get to be known. And isn't this kind of what we all want more than just about anything else? To be known? I think this is one of the deepest desires of our hearts, to be known and to be understood. By the way, this is marriage counseling 101. Right? If you can feel like you're known and understood, you're 99% of the way there. Right? You don't have to agree, but if you know that you're known and understood, it's because we so much want to be known and understood. If you can just understand me, that will be more than enough. You don't have to agree with me, just understand me. I think it's the deepest desire of our hearts, and to live out our days with that confidence that I am known and understood, that I am known, all my foibles and all of my dark sides and all of the things that are wrong with me and my brokenness, to be known fully, all of that. Yeah, all the wonderful things about me as well, but also that you really know me, even the kind of negative stuff about me, and you still love me? Isn't that what we're after? And this is what Jesus is offering in this flourishing life, this abundant life that he won for us at the cross and at the empty tomb. That's part of what it looks like or feels like to enter into this Zoe life, to be known, understood, and loved. Jesus says, you know, I know you. I know you very well, and I long for you to know me as well. Not just to know about me or to agree that I existed, but to experience me. I think that I can say with confidence, that's Jesus' greatest desire, is that you would know him. This Zoe life is also a life in which we are deeply nourished. We're deeply nourished. Jesus says in verse 9, he says, the sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. They will come in and go out and find pasture. This is actually an idiom, and it means the promise of a flourishing life. You will come in and go out, and you will be blessed with all of the blessings of life in and with Jesus Christ, that you will have and receive all you need to live an abundant and flourishing life in Jesus Christ. And you know, you need bread, right? There are some very basic things that we all need. And in fact, Jesus, he knows this, obviously. He even teaches us to pray for bread. You know, he doesn't teach us to pray that many things. One of the things he teaches us to pray is, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Please, God, give me everything I need today to follow you. Jesus miraculously feeds a crowd of over 4,000 people with a few loaves. Obviously, he cares about bread. He gets it. We need bread. And yet, we do not live on bread alone. That bread is actually not enough for Zoe. It's enough for Bios, but it's not enough for Zoe. We need more in order to flourish. Jesus says it this way. This is from John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How many different things have you tried to get satisfaction from? Have you tried food, drink, sex, money, power, image, popularity? All of these things have something in common. They overpromise and they underdeliver. They overpromise and they underdeliver. They just cannot satisfy our deepest hungers. I mean, maybe with the exception of Snickers. Maybe Snickers satisfies, but nothing else does, right? We look in every direction to be fed, to be nourished, to be satisfied, and we're always left wanting. Because there's only one person who ever did not overpromise and underdeliver, and that's Jesus. Now, I don't think he underpromises and overdelivers. I think he appropriately promises, and then he delivers on his promises. Come to me. Believe into me, and I will give you this abundant life, this Zoe life, the life that you were designed to live. Nourished. This is what a flourishing Zoe life begins to look like. Now, Jesus says, this is John 10:10. Here it is. I came that they may have Zoe and have it abundantly. He came that we might be known by him, loved by him, and nourished by him. And how is it that Jesus can make this offer to us? How is it that Jesus can make this claim? Well, because he rose from the dead. Are you going to listen to a guy who rose from the dead or not? Are you going to believe a guy who rose from the dead or not? Are you going to believe a guy who overcame death on his own? Are you going to believe a guy who walked out of his own grave 3 days after he died on a cross? I mean, this is not resuscitation, people. This is not like somebody did CPR on him an hour after his heart stopped beating. This is 3 days later. His body was already expected to be stinking, and he rose from the dead. And he's offering this kind of resurrection life to you and to me. I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe a guy who walks out of his own grave 3 days after he died. And I'm going to believe that the resurrection life Jesus has entered into is the kind of resurrection life that he is giving to me and he is giving to you. Do you believe it? To believe this is to begin to enter into this resurrection life. So the invitation of Easter is to believe and receive, to believe that Jesus walked out of his own grave, and then to receive the living Lord Jesus as just that, the living Lord, the Lord of my heart, the Lord of my life, to say, yes, Jesus, I believe that without you, I am perishing, but with you, I enter into eternal, abundant Zoe. That I have been set free from death. I have been set free from sin. I've been set free from the evil one because you, Jesus, overcame all of that. You, Jesus, won the victory over death, sin, and the evil one. You, Jesus, offer Zoe life to anyone who will say, yeah. Yeah, Jesus, I'm in. Give that to me. I want your life, Jesus. Serve it up. Would you pray with me? Yeah, Jesus. That's what we want to say to you over and over again. Yeah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes, please. And thank you. Yes, that the grave is empty. Yes, that you appeared to your disciples. Yes, that you rose from the grave. Yes, that you overcame death. Yes, that you overcame the evil one, that you overcame sin. Yes, that you offer us new life in you. Yes, that you offer us Zoe, so much more than bios. Yes, 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 please and thank you, Jesus. So I want to invite you to say yes to him. I want to invite you today to say yes again to Jesus. If you have said yes to him in the past, you want to say yes to him again. Yes again, Jesus. I want the life that you offer. I want the life that you gave me. I want to walk in the reality of the resurrection. Yes, Jesus. You can just say that. Yes, Jesus. And for those of you who've never said that before, today could be the day. Like the Apostle Paul, who transferred from bios life to Zoe life in one moment, you too can be transferred from a life that deteriorates to a life that leads to flourishing forever. Just by saying, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you said yes to us. You said yes to the cross. You were not forced onto the cross. You offered yourself up to die on the cross for us. You said yes to us. And so, Jesus, we want to say yes to you today. We want to say yes and amen. For we pray this in the good name, the flourishing name, the life-giving name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchb.org.